Hello, fellow story champions. My name is Simon Brooks. Welcome to Lindy Line, a story podcast. Here, you will find old stories, some written by the likes of Kipling and Robert Louis Stevenson, the ancient folk and fairy tales retold for a modern audience of families, and original short stories I have penned myself, as well as a bit of poetry here and there. I will be retelling some of the fabulous classic folk and fairy tales and some other stories that you may not be familiar with. I'll be taking you around the world with these tales. And there may be some history too. You never know. Once, when all creatures could understand one another, and the realm of magic was as apparent as the clouds in the sky, and the fae were still seen sprinkling fairy dust into the eyes of those who were to see them, in those long ago times, there were stories. Are you comfortable? Then sit back and listen. Before the snow came, the mornings were really, really, really cold. So I would take Mo out in the afternoons or in the evenings, round dusk, and we would bundle up before we headed down to the woods. Mo loves the cold, either that or she sprints here and there to keep warm. We walked along Great Brook, but instead of sticking to the path, I went off trail, up between the big rocks. These rocks are the size of small houses, lined up and toppled over each other. I can imagine a glacier pushing these huge blocks in front of them, then stopping and melting, leaving this line of boulders. Mo had run on ahead along the path, and came bounding after me once she realised I was heading somewhere else for a change. She might have thought I was playing hide-and-seek, which we sometimes do. Anyway, the ground here was not quite as crunchy as the path. The moss and lichen was soft to walk on. As Mo bounded from rock to rock, I scrambled and pulled myself up between and on to a couple. And I saw a bear. A large black bear. I grabbed hold of Mo's collar and put a hand on her nose and whispered, "Shh." She grumbled a bit, but otherwise was quiet. At the house, when our local Mama Bear had been ordering sandwiches or pizza from the shops behind our house with her cubs and wanders back through our garden, Mo goes nuts and scares the bears away. But out in the woods, she's not protecting the house, and she can be quiet, and she was. The bear stood on its back legs and called out as the light in the sky darkened towards dusk. Slowly, out of the trees flew three crows. They landed with a hop on the boulder next to the bear.
"Greetings," they called.
"Greetings," replied the bear, "and salutations."
"Doesn't that mean the same thing?"
asked the smaller of the three crows.
"Isn't bear saying hello, hello?"
"Shh! Let bear speak."
The bear settled down on its haunches and placed its paws between its knees.
"So, we retain the same agreement as last year. If I have a kill, I'll let you know, and if you find some carrion, you'll let me know."
The smallest of the crows spoke again.
"Why does bear get all the food?"
The largest crow turned her beak to face the smaller of the three and squawked at it.
"Don't you understand? We're all getting food. If we find dead animals big enough for us all, we tell bear and we all eat. If bear finds something large to eat, bear tells us, and again, we all eat. It's a win-win situation."
It was then that the middle crow spoke up.
"I think it's more of an eat-eat situation."
"Ha!" cried the bear. "I like that. May I use it?"
"Of course."
The largest crow shook its head. It was then that Mo gruffed a little and stood up from her sitting position. I imagine it was all the talk of food which had done it. The crows looked over at us and took to the air with a caw that sounded like "agreed." The bear, on seeing us, took off into the trees. Mo wanted to chase after it, but I held her close. "I don't know if you want to chase after the bear or play with it. Either way, I don't want to lose you. You're staying here with me, doing neither, playing or chasing." For the rest of our walk, Mo kept stopping around and looking, with her ears pricked up. But we saw neither the bear nor the birds again. and when we got home, I gave her a dog treat and part of my McVitie's digestive biscuit, which went with my hot tea. Talking of bears, I want to tell you a story that comes from India. It's about this couple, one of whom was a chef and the other was a woodcutter, and they lived together in a small cottage. They weren't very rich. They had enough money for food and clothes and the roof over their head, but that was pretty much it. But they enjoyed life. They loved life. Their next-door neighbour was not like them. The next-door neighbour lived alone and was incredibly wealthy and had this huge orchard of pear trees. Now, these pears weren't the average pear. They were beautiful. They were delicious. They were the most expensive pears you can find on the market because they tasted and looked so good. Now, one of the branches from one of the trees leaned over the property of our friends, the chef and the woodcutter. And when they first went to take a pear from one of these branches that was hanging over their property, the rich man came yelling out of his house, "Those are my pears! They're on my trees and you can't have them! Well, they're hanging over our property. I don't care if they're hanging over your property or not. You don't have my pears. You can't have them until they drop on the ground and then they'll become yours." So our friends had to wait until the pears dropped on the ground. And as you can imagine, they probably didn't taste as good as they did plucked freshly off the trees. Anyway, they were sitting in their window one day looking at the pear tree, wondering if the pears were going to drop. And the chef decided that they were kind of hungry. And so they decided to make some chana masala, this wonderful chickpea curry stew. And they started to make it. But it didn't take them both long to realise that they didn't have enough wood to keep the stove burning. And so the woodcutter grabbed his axe and headed out down into the woods to find and cut up wood to bring back. Now, as he was working, this huge, great bear came walking up to him and said, "What are you doing?"
I'm cutting wood to take back to our home. We're cooking up some chana masala, and we haven't got enough wood to keep the stove going, so I needed to get some more."
"Oh, I like chana masala. Could I have some?"
Well, the woodcutter had a great idea, a flash of inspiration.
"Yes, but happy to do that, but you have to cut your own body weight in wood."
"Why do I have to do that? You haven't cut your body weight of wood. That is probably a third."
"Well, yes, that is a third of my body weight, and it's my third trip because I couldn't carry it all in one go. But you're a big, strong bear. You could carry your own body weight, I bet."
"I could too." "All right, where is your house?"
"Well, just follow the path along this way where I go, and it leads straight to our little cottage."
"All right."
And the woodcutter handed the bear the axe, and the bear started to chop wood. And the woodcutter picked up his wood and made his way back to his cottage, laid some of it outside in the woodpile, and then took the rest inside to get the stove going. And the chana masala cooked and cooked, and the smell filled the room, and it smelt so good. The woodcutter told the chef about their guest, and they were a little surprised about having a bear coming and sitting with them and eating supper. But the woodcutter set the table for three, and the smell filled the room even more. And then the naan bread was ready, and that smelt really good. And the chef took the pot off the stove and put it on the table, and they waited for bear. But the chef couldn't wait. "I think I'm going to try some." And chef picked up the spoon and took a helping and put it in their mouth and ate it. And it tasted so good. And the woodcutter, looking at the chef, I think I want to try some too. And he took his spoon and this is good. And then the chef took another spoon. And then the woodcutter took another spoon. And then the chef and the woodcutter and the chef and the woodcutter, until the whole pot was pretty much empty. There were five chickpeas left, along with a small amount of sauce. And they'd also eaten all the naan bread. They looked at each other. "What are we going to do?
I don't know. What shall we do?
The woodcutter looked out of the window and saw a pair of very large furry feet and legs carrying a big pile of wood.
It's the bear! What are we going to do? We've eaten all the chana masala.
We'll go and hide up in the attic, up in the garret, said the chef. And they made their way up into the garret, up into the attic, and they hid. Well, Bear came plodding along, humming to himself, and he could smell the smell of the curry, and it smelled so good, and he set the wood down and stacked it, and then, poof, 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 hello, I'm here. Hello? Poof, poof, poof. Hello? Peering in through the door, he saw the table was set for three.
Well, they must be ready for me. I'll go and sit down.
But as he got close to the table, he saw that two of the place settings had dirty spoons and dishes. So he sat down at the third spot where it was clean. The dishes and the spoon were clean. And he waited.
Oh, it does smell good. They obviously ate some, because I wonder what it looks like.
And Bear stood up and leaned over the pot and looked down.
What? They didn't save. They ate it all themselves? What? No, that's not fair. I cut all that.
He took his spoon and pulled out those final five pieces of chickpea and put it in his mouth. And
it's so yummy.
He threw the spoon on the floor and then stuck his head in the pot and licked its sides clean.
They ate it all up and didn't leave me any, and I cut all of that wood and I carried it all the way here. I even stacked it. Oh, he was so angry that he threw the pot on the floor. He flipped the table, knocked the chairs out, and made his way outside. I can't believe they ate. I did all that work, and I have a good mind to take that wood back. But it's heavy, so I shan't. Ooh, look.
Bear had seen the pears hanging from the tree. And he picked one and put it in his mouth because he was still hungry.
Mmm, ooh, that's delicious.
And he plucked another pear from the tree and put that in his mouth.
Mmm, these are really good.
And he plucked a third and ate that and...
I have an idea.
He made his way back into the house, picked up the pot, climbed up into the tree and would take a pear, put it in his mouth, take another pear and put it in the pot. Eat one, one in the pot. Eat one, one in the pot. And the man who owned that pear tree and all the other pear trees, the man that lived in that huge house, that man that was so mean to that couple, he came running out of his house.
You can't eat those pears. Those are my pears. Leave them alone. You get down from that tree.
And the bear looked at the man and went, and the man ran all the way back to his house and shut the door very tightly and locked it. Well, the bear filled up the pot with pears, climbed out of the tree and made his way home. His belly was very much full. The woodcutter and the chef, they came downstairs and saw the mess that their kitchen was in. And they could understand why. The bear must have been furious, and they felt so bad that they'd eaten it all up. But there was now nothing they could do. Well, a while later, the woodcutter was back in the woods, chopping up wood.
And along came Bear. You had me cut all of that wood, and then there was no chana masala left. And what was left, those little pieces left, they were so good. I'm so sorry. Yes, it was terrible. We tried it, and it was so good, we just couldn't stop ourselves, and then all of a sudden the pot was empty. But I tell you what, why don't you come with me right now, and we'll make a brand new pot of chana masala, and you can share it with us.
Well, I still have your pot. Let me go and get it.
And so the bear went off and got the pot. And they took the pot back to the woodcutter and chef's house. And the three of them made chana masala. And naan bread, of course. And they ate it together. They shared it. In fact, the bear had a little bit more than the woodcutter and the chef this time. It only seemed right. And then when they finished, the bear looked at them and said,
I think we should have some dessert.
And they looked at the bear and said, well, that would be very nice, but we don't have anything.
I'll sort it out.
And the bear stood up from the table and walked outside. He walked up to the pear tree.
and he climbed back up into the tree and he plucked 3 pears from the branches. And the man who owned the trees came running out of his house. "Here, that's my pears!" And the man ran back to the house and locked the door very quickly. Bear took those 3 pears back into the home of the woodcutter and the chef and handed them a pear each, keeping one for himself. And they ate the pears, and they were the most delicious pears they had ever eaten. And of course, we all know that they all lived, that's right, happily ever after. Are you hungry yet? Both of those stories talk about food. What's your favourite food? Do you have a favourite food for winter and another favourite food for summer? And what about drinks? Do they change too? Do you drink hot chocolate covered in whipped cream in the middle of summer, and when you come in from making snow people in the winter, rush into the house and grab a cold soda from the fridge? My cousin's husband, Ken, calls whipped cream drool whip because it's so good it makes him drool. It makes me drool too. What are your favourite foods? What are your favourite drinks? Drop me a line. Let me know. Anyway, stay warm over the winter and visit or call the people, the folks that you love, and Happy New Year. Once, when all creatures could understand one another and the realm of magic was as apparent as the clouds in the sky, in those long ago times, this is where my telling ends.